Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us here on Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, and I'm so pleased to have you with us for the next hour. So sit back and relax. We're going to give you some answers to those issues that come front all of us from time to time about our home, our family, and our finances. And on this very warm, hot June day, I hope that that you're cool wherever you are, although the news, and I think you'll agree, has been very hot about the military. Part of our audience is the military, a big part of our audience, as we beam out to more than 170 outlets around the world. And so from time to time, issues come up that we talk about that relate specifically to the military. And today we'll talk about that with Kim Langford, who is Kiplinger's contributing editor. And we're talking about the special financial challenges that that the military people may encounter, and some special plans and benefits and tax breaks, other things that have an impact on our sons, our daughters, our fathers, our wives, our husbands. They're a part of us, and we'll talk about that. Then we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about another topic that comes up all the time, and that, of course, is the issue of the Y generation, and it's called the boomerang generation. They're coming back home, folks, to live with us because they can't find jobs for a variety of reasons. We've paid tons of money for their education, or they have, and they can't find a place to live. We'll be talking with Janet Lee Croachman. She's a CPA out of California, and she's going to be talking about the impact on you, the impact on me, to have our kids come home after graduation from college. But right now we're going to talk about the military. Look, this has been a very hot week, despite the weather wherever you are, given all the things that have been going on regarding the return of a prisoner of war, and everything associated with that. The point being is that we're all impacted by the military in some form or another, either because we have a relative, a loved one fighting, or because they're returning looking for jobs, or a multitude of differences. But we're protected by these folks, and they're coming home in droves because, for the most part, the war is over, knock on wood. But will it always be that way? We don't know. So the Kiplingers decided that what they wanted to do with one of their articles, and you can read it in this month's magazine, they took a look at the members of the military family with their special financial challenges. The article was written by Kim Langford. And, of course, we always go right to the source. She joins us now to talk a little bit about this. Kim, thanks so much for being with us again here on Home and Family Finance.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There are some special, I guess, well, there are some financial benefits available to service members and how to make the most of them. First of all, did you find out that they know about these things? Are they using them? Where are we now with providing opportunities for servicemen and women coming back from wherever they may be in the world?
Well, you know, I mean, one of the most difficult things for military families is the frequent deployments. And my husband is just retiring from the Army after 21 years. He was deployed 3 times.
Wow.
And a lot of these benefits are tied into deployment, that you can really make the most of some of these savings opportunities and tax opportunities while deployed. But the difficult thing is that they generally have many, many seminars preparing you for deployment. But probably the least front of mind for you is some of your financial issues. And a lot of times you're really worried about your safety, where you're going to live, what you're going to be doing, all of those things. And so it's just a good reminder for people, especially for some of these benefits that really max out when deployed, that these are some things to take advantage of. And, you know, even though you're getting so much information when you're about to be sent away, mm-hmm. that these are some things for your family to keep in mind as well, because they can help you with your retirement, help you with your kids' education, help you with your tax situation. So many things that can help your finances, both during deployment and long after you return.
And let me ask about this term limit here. What I mean by that is, and I think it's important for the military who are listening to understand, do they have to take advantages of these while they're in the military, or are they available to them after they leave, after they get back from these deployed areas?
Well, it really varies. I mean, some of these benefits are only while you're deployed. Some of the benefits, like the extra thrift savings plan limits, are higher while you're deployed, but you can always contribute to the thrift savings plan while you're on active duty. And some things like the VA loan benefits can last after you're even out of the military. So there's a lot of different rules for them. Talk with your financial office at your base, can go into a lot of detail about these, especially if you're about to leave the military. Find out what you need to take advantage of before you leave and what's still available to you afterwards. Because like you said, there are some things that you have to be deployed, some things you have to be active duty, and some things you just have to have served a certain amount of time.
And if you're listening to this saying, I'm not in the military, so why should I be interested? It's because all of us are impacted by someone in the military. And they may be coming out. They may be already home. They may be looking for a job. They may be in various circumstances. But you can help them understand what's available to them and make sure that they don't miss out on some great opportunity. Of all the things that and we're talking with Kim Langford, who's contributing editor at Kiplinger's, about an article that she wrote about these various benefits. What's the best out there that you see that you say to a service person, don't miss this?
Well, you know, for someone who's about to be deployed, to find out about the savings deposit program, and this is an opportunity to be able to save 10% per year guaranteed. Now, normally these days with low interest rates, if anyone says 10% guaranteed, the red lights go flashing and you think, oh my goodness, that's a scam. But this is not, but it's only available while you're deployed and then up to 3 months after your return. So if you are about to be deployed, talk with your payroll office about what you need to do to be able to participate in this. You can contribute up to $10,000 into this plan and then get an annualized 10% per year.
Wow.
And generally, you need to actually sign up for it while you're deployed. So find out before you leave if you need to take a checkbook with you, if there's anything else that you need to do ahead of time, because that trips people up. It tends to get a bit complicated. You have so many things on your mind while you're about to be deployed. But just make this one of your questions, and then you can get just a real extra benefit when you come back and after 3 months after you return.
We're talking with Kim Langford. She's Kiplinger's contributing editor. We're talking to our military members, families, friends, everyone about some goodies that are available to you. When we come back, Kim will explain some of the other programs that are available to you. I'm Paul Berry. This is Home and Family Finance on Radio America.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And I'd love it when I have a chance to talk to those who are doing so much for me. I'm talking about our military members serving wherever they may be in the world, deployed wherever they may be. There are benefits and other goodies that are available to them. But in order to take advantage, you have to know about them. And that's why we brought in Kim Langford, who is a contributing editor to Kiplinger's magazine, and also, I might add, is a military wife who now is just a few days, months away from retirement after some 21 years. Kim, that's congratulations and thank you and your spouse for your service.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's a very exciting time for him.
I bet it is. What about you? Are you ready to kind of relax and down from the rigors of being a service member's spouse to civilian life?
Well, it will be a big relief not to have to worry about deployments anymore. That's been something that's, you know, always hard to get used to, even though we did it three times, always different parts of different times in our life and my son's life. So it'll be nice not to have to worry about that.
How many times have you moved, Kim?
We actually haven't moved all that much. He's been stationed in Washington, D.C. for most of the time. So we've only had to move about two times. But he was stationed he was in Iraq twice and Afghanistan once. And so he moved a lot more than we did.
Yeah. You know, nobody, until you go through it, understands what it's like when you say he was in Afghanistan. Was there a night during his tour that you weren't worried about his safety?
No. And in fact, it was interesting because the three times the communications got a lot better by the third time he was gone. But the first time we would go for, you know, a long periods of time without hearing from him. And all of the spouses would just, you know, get in touch with each other. If anyone had heard from anybody, this was right when the Iraq War was starting. So it was just, it was actually a big relief once they started to have email and better phone access because they could hear from him a lot more often.
Yeah, that's a great thing about, and we don't, unless you have the opportunity to use it in that way, you forget about how important this new technology is in terms of staying in touch.
Exactly. And you totally take it for granted in everyday life. And then when it's not there and you can't just email whenever you have something to say or call, it was a huge deal when he was able to have that while he was deployed.
And we're talking about some of the benefits that are available to service members. One of those is, and you talked about your son, there is free college for yourself or a spouse or kid, isn't there?
This is a wonderful benefit that my family's making the most of, and it's just for long-time service members. So you need to have served in the military for at least 6 years and agree to serve for four more. And it's the new version of the GI Bill, the GI Bill that's been around for a long, long time. They updated it for the post-9/11 GI Bill. It's the new version. And this one, you can transfer your benefits to your spouse or your children. And like I said, it's only for those long-time service members. But that was one of the things that encouraged my husband to stay until retirement because we wanted to be able to have that for my son. The key thing is it pays for the full cost of in-state tuition and fees at a public college, or if you're going to a private college or if you're out of state for a public college, it'll pay up to $19,198 per year. That's usually indexed for inflation, so that should be a lot more by the time my 10-year-old is in college. And you can use it at state schools, private schools, many private schools, since that amount only pays for a portion of the costs, also have a blue ribbon scholarship program that that fills in some of the gaps and offers some additional money too. So if you go to va.gov, you can look at the their education section, find out about the post 9/11 bill, GI Bill, and find out if you qualify. And if you're thinking about staying for the long term in the military, just be very careful about some of those deadlines and requirements. You don't want to fall just a year or two short if that was something you were counting on.
We're talking with Kim Langford. She's a military wife, and she's about to retire. She knows a lot about this business. When we come back, we'll find out how well known these plans and benefits are and what you can do to make sure you learn more about it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council, and also CUNA, the Credit Union National Association, and we thank them for their continued support of this program dedicated to making all of us smarter, more informed consumers. And a little bit later, we'll tell you where you can write to us if you have any issues, you want to hear a particular topic, whatever comes to your mind. If it relates to financial literacy, it comes to our plate, and we're very willing to serve it up to you once we know what you want to hear. So we'll give you the address where you can reach out to us if and when you have an issue facing you. Facing us in a very lovely way is Kim Langford, a military wife about to retire with her hubby after 21 years or so in service. And we're talking about some benefits out there that are available to service members. And, of course, this is interesting to not only them, but to every civilian out there. We're protected by these folks, and you may be able to give someone the high sign, the heads up on these programs. Kim, thank you again for being with us. I know that you spend a lot of your time writing for and being involved with Kiplingers, and we think they do a good job of covering the issues that we want to hear about. This is in the June or July issue. As a military family or member, how well known are these programs?
I think a lot of people people hear about them. They have a lot of seminars when you join the military, when you're about to be deployed. But I think there's so much information coming in that it's always a good reminder. I mean, things like the Thrift Savings Plan, for example, I think most members of the military realize it's there, but they may forget that they have extra high limits while they're receiving tax-free income while in a combat zone. And it's just a really good reminder to make the most of these benefits, because some of these, especially like the Thrift Savings Plan, is a very low-cost way to save for retirement. And, you know, there are people who stay for 20 years and get the military pension, but many people leave the military before then. And you really can't count on just that pension. It's important to start saving yourself as well. And you've got a lot of great opportunities.
And if I want to know more, if I'm listening and I'm either civilian or military and I want to know more so that I'm able to exercise some of the benefits, where do I find out about these things?
Well, at Kiplinger.com, we did a slideshow called the 10 Best Financial Benefits for Military Families, and it talks about all of these benefits, and the good thing is it has links to all of the resources that the military has about each of these. I mean, many of these are run by the Veterans Administration, so if you go to VA.gov, you'll find out about a lot of these benefits, school benefit, the tuition benefit, about the low-cost loans, about special life insurance programs. Also, for the Thrift Savings Plan, TSP.gov is a great resource there. That's where you can find about your investment options, the costs, how much you can contribute, and all of that. But if you go to Kiplinger.com, we've got a great slideshow that has links to all of the detailed resources.
And you said a word there that I know kind of piques the interest of our military, because we know over 50% of them take out loans of some sort from somewhere. What kind of loan program is available to military service members?
Well, the VA loan for mortgages has always been, you know, a great, great benefit for military members to keep in mind. And the key thing is that, you know, so many lenders are getting really tightening up on the down payments that you need to make in order to qualify. And many of them are, you know, offering 20%, which was standard back in the day, but, you know, over the last several years had gone down for many people. But with the VA loan, you don't have to make a down payment. And there's pros and cons to this. I mean, if you're very careful, this can help you get into a house, especially if you're younger and may not have quite as much saved as you would have to amass that 20%. Mm-hmm. However, you need to be really careful, because some military families have become upside down on their mortgages, and they didn't put anything down, and then the value of their house went down, and then they were stuck owing more than their house was worth. And so, you know, especially military families who move frequently really need to be careful when buying a house. Sometimes it's good to rent for a year or two.
Yeah.
If you think that you may move. But also at the website in the military slideshow, we also have some links to some special programs for mortgage forgiveness programs and just mortgage help programs for military members who may already be upside down in their mortgages.
I know we don't have time now to talk about it, but I want to let our audience know that you have the legal protections as well. The Armed Forces Legal Assistance Office is worth looking into if you have need of an attorney or any legal assistance, right?
Oh, and that is a fantastic resource. I mean, they can do all of your paperwork before you're deployed. One of the key pieces of paperwork before my husband left was always the power of attorney, so I could handle all the finances while he was gone. But also, especially for members of the National Guard and Reserves who are being, you know, may have a higher income job and then are called to active duty and may have an income drop, there's something called the Service Member Civil Relief Act that caps loan rates at 6% for loans that you took before you were called to active duty, which is something to check with the legal office about, too.
Kim, there's so many great programs. Thank you for taking time to join us and share what you know about this with service members who I hope will be inspired to do something about it. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Definitely. It's my pleasure.
Okay. Why Generation coming up next.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, I get a lot of information, as you may imagine, from folks who want to be on the show, have things to talk about. And for the most part, everything I hear is legitimate. My sorrow is that I just don't have time for everything, but I do have time for this one because I think it affects so many people. The Pew Research, which is a research group here based in Washington, they just did a recent study, and they found out that roughly 3 in 10 young adults have moved back in with their parents in recent years. The report is called The Boomerang Generation. And this growing trend is having an impact on parents who are preparing for their own retirement. It also points out the growing national crisis of teen college, a student lack of basic personal financial skills that they need to survive, and the fact that there are no jobs out there, or if there are, they don't know how to find them. But what is the impact on you financially? It can be devastating. Now, you say to me, Paul, you say that like you know what you're talking about. Well, folks, I do. I have a Y generation living at home with me who not only graduated from college but went off to Bangkok in Thailand and worked there for a year and taught. He's not a lazy person. When he came back, he still hadn't found out either what was available or what he wants to do. So guess where he is? He's living at home. Now, he's working very diligently with me on the show, and I'm not complaining a bit. But what I'm saying is I understand this. I know what it's all about. Someone else who understands it is certified public accountant Janet Lee Crockman. Now, Ms. Crockman has children, has, I presume, grown children. Very interesting in terms of, well, how she sees this. And I invite her now to join us for a little bit of a conversation about this. Janet, thanks so much for being with us.
Paul, I'm happy to be here.
This is not easy. I mean, this is something that is more serious than, oh, yeah, come on back and live with me for a while, isn't it?
It does bring up all kinds of complications. As you sort of highlighted, there's the question of, you know, how long and for, you know, the impact on the family household, you know, what stage of life are the parents at, what stage of life are the kids at. And my experience out here in California has been that a lot of it tends to be very limited in terms of a plan. And as you mentioned, you know, financial literacy and so forth is kind of at the core of this, that everyone expects that this is going to be a temporary arrangement, or at least that's the expectation, but nobody really discusses it, nobody talks about it, nobody sets up a plan, and the years roll by, and all of a sudden, you know, people find themselves kind of at a crossroads, and the expectations of the two groups are generally quite different. And I would really hope that anybody that is involved in a circumstance like this would actually sit down and have a series of family meetings mm-hmm. to discuss, you know, what the mid-range and long-term plans are, and, you know, are we going to establish ground rules, and if so, what are they, and, you know, the financial impact to the household, and really have provide that as a footprint, if you will, to build on future conversations about these life skills that I think so many of this boomerang generation kind of missed out on growing up.
Nobody wants to step on anybody's toes. Nobody wants to offend. You know, there are great expectations that didn't work out, and you feel badly for your kid. Your kid feels badly because he's back in the house or she's back in the house. And that's why we're talking with Janet Crockman about that. She's an independent CPA. She practices primarily small and medium-sized businesses and their owners with an emphasis on tax and consulting work. She does nonprofit and trust tax and consulting work and is a member of the California Society of CPA Financial Literacy Team. And she also works with the Freedom Committee of Orange County, a local veterans group here, which is out in Costa Mesa, I guess is the way you say it. At mm-hmm. Legion Post 455. Her father was a major in the U.S. Air Force and spent time in Thailand. And she knows a thing or two about this business, folks. And the reason I qualify her is I want you to understand what she just said to you. The most important part of all of this, I think, Janet, is conversation, is the ability to talk and to listen and appreciate and respect each side of this. Is that true?
I believe that that is actually the key to making all of this work. As you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of, you know, moving around the edges. Nobody wants to be the one to talk about the, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. But really, one of the impacts that I see with a lot of my clients and the community that I work in out here in California is a real dearth of, you know, an absence of financial literacy in the young people today. And you know, you can blame the schools and, you know, a few other things, but the fact of the matter is, this is really stuff that should have been taught at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it didn't get taught at home the first time around, here's the great opportunity to do it round two. And it's not even just so much, you know, the basics of, you know, setting up a checking account and savings and so forth, but actually, you know, the budgeting process that every family has to deal with. You know, how do you get from, you know, Monday to Sunday? Is, you know, is it paycheck to paycheck? Are you setting a little bit of aside for a rainy day? And really, what is the impact of your living costs on the money that you bring into the household? I mean, lots of kids have never seen an electric bill, a mortgage statement, property taxes, insurance, I mean, the whole long list, because mom and dad have always taken care of that. So now that they're in their early adult stages, you know, there's a long list of things that if you want to be self-sufficient, these are the things that you're going to have to be able to cover out of the salary or earnings that you have. And I believe bringing kids into the family finance discussion really allows them to have an up-close and personal look at what it takes to maintain a household.
Yeah.
And I believe that that helps drive then the, you know, choice of careers, or whether they go back to school or whether they don't. And I think it's a real eye-opener as well, because most kids have no clue what their parents do to maintain that household.
Guilty.
And so I believe bringing them in is really critical.
Guilty. I'm so guilty of what you're just saying. You know, I don't think I've ever shown them electric bills, mortgages, any of that. It's kind of like I guess I felt like I wasn't doing my job, or I was giving them too much to deal with. I don't know why I didn't do that, and I didn't teach them about budgeting. And I don't think I'm alone in this. I think a whole lot of folks feel the same way. We're talking with Janet Lee Crockman. She is a CPA, has a private practice in California. And we're talking about Generation Y, the boomerang generation. They're moving back home with us, folks. What should we do about it? What can we do about it? And how should we go about it? We'll be right back with more with Janet. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're talking about Generation Y, the boomerang generation. You sent them off to college or you didn't. They left home because they were unhappy and wanted to see the world, or they didn't. And now the one reality is that they're home and living with you. My guest is Janet Lee Crockman. She's a CPA. And we're talking about the impact on you. What is the impact on I'm trying to save for retirement, Janet. What's the impact? Where do I draw the line here?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is make sure they're paying some rent. If they're unemployed and not able to do that, then obviously that, you know, just sort of adds to the conversation. But as soon as they're employed in any way, some portion of their pay needs to go back into your pocket, if for no other reason than to, you know, to cover the impact that your finances have taken. The additional, you know, utilities and food, and you may have added them to your car insurance and a number of other things, you know, in an effort to help out.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Janet, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Look, you're talking about my child. I raised these kids. I mean, these are my children. You're not suggesting for a moment that they've come back and now I say you got to pay for food, you got to pay for insurance, you got to pay me some rent. How can I do that, Janet?
Very simply, by sitting them down at the table and say, you know what, if I wasn't here, this is what you would have to deal with. So I am going to help you ease into this, even though I know your economic circumstances are not what you would expect at this stage of your life. The fact of the matter is we both have to work on this together, because there's impacts on both sides. And I would have to believe that your child, you know, in a non-emotional way, as best you can, would see that really what you've got here is a partnership.
Yeah, but Janet, I'm sorry. If you make me do this, I'm moving out.
Well, you know what? That might be the best thing for them.
Goodbye.
And it might be the best thing for you as well.
And I'm you know, obviously I'm pushing this a bit, but that's exactly what happens. I mean, they're going to be angry about this.
Well, I don't know that they'll be angry. It's a choice. They can choose to pay you rent, or they can choose to pay another landlord rent. They're not going to be able to live on the streets for free in a comfortable situation, so why should they be able to do it at your house?
Well, it makes perfect sense, and I guess it's just the way that you approach it with your children, just as you say, professionally saying, look, let's talk about this adult to an adult, not parent to child.
Correct.
Okay, and let's talk about what you would be doing if I wasn't here, if you couldn't live at home. You'd have to pay rent. You'd have to pay for your lights, gas, electricity. And I think it's a hard step. And again, I'm talking about this from a personal experience. It's difficult to do, especially once you've looked after them for so many years. But Janet, you're saying that if I'm going to look out for me and my wife or my husband as parents, retirement and everything else, I've got to take a hard look here. I've got to be tough about this.
Well, and if your child had moved in with a friend or some other family member, I think the situation would be very similar. They would realize that they're having a financial impact on the household. And, you know, with perhaps a few exceptions, I don't think too many kids are looking to mooch off of, you know, someone else who's carrying that financial burden. And I think, again, by bringing them into the conversation, showing them what it costs to run the household, and asking them for a reasonable contribution at whatever level of employment that they're at, I think is a way to start the conversation. And then as their economics change over time, you know, revisit this so that everybody feels comfortable with the contribution, the financial contribution that they're making.
This is a little bit off the reservation, but maybe just at the edge. They're living with me. They are, you know, everything's going along. And then they come in and they say, Mom, Dad, I need a loan.
Ah, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. And again, a loan for what? To take a trip across Europe? To buy a car? You know, what is the reason for the loan? And, you know, the downside to letting your children into your financial life is they do get to see, you know, as much of the picture as you allow. But if they get the impression that there is available funds mm-hmm. and they would like to avail themselves of that, it's not an unnatural question for them. But again, if you were to lend money to anyone else other than your child, under what circumstances would you lend that money?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even if I have the money to lend and they know it, if I choose not to give them the money, that doesn't make me a bad parent.
No, it does not. Because, again, the cycle of life that you are in versus the cycle that they are in is completely different. And one of the best gifts that you can give your children is to not end up being financially dependent on them and have the cycle flip back around. So if you set up your retirement to where you don't ultimately end up on their doorstep, that is going to be the best gift you can give them in the long run.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is that, like it or not, as uncomfortable as it may be, show your children, share with your children the bigger picture. Here's where we are, here's where we need to be, here's where we're going, and you can help us by understanding this and making your contribution.
Absolutely. And part of the conversation as parents age, most kids that end up having to come back into either a caregiver or some other kind of circumstance come in completely blind. They have absolutely no idea of their parents' financial situation, and by the time they're in a high-stress circumstance, that's not really the time to be learning all of these things. So this is why I believe this is a perfect opportunity for parents and children to sort of share each other's financial space, if you will, and the understanding that comes from that can lay the groundwork for other aspects down the line.
Important conversation, an interesting conversation that we're having with CPA Janet Lee Crockman from California. Folks, the Y generation is here. When we come back, I want to find out from Janet whether this is a growing trend, whether this is something temporary, or whether it is diminishing and things are getting better regarding this generation. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on Radio America as we talk about the Generation Y, the so-called boomerang generation, coming home for whatever reasons and saying, hey, hi, Mom, hi, Dad, I'm back. Help me out or take care of me or whatever they say. And the question I want to ask Janet Lee Crockman, who is my guest, a CPA, a lady who knows a thing or two about this, has raised her own children, and now consults with families. How long, Janet, how long do I put up with the situation? Is it a matter of do it until they get a job, do it until they can move out, or is there a time when I just say to them, enough already, you got to go?
Well, I think that's an individual consideration. Obviously, it's heavily tied to employment and their ability to actually afford to live on their own. But keep in mind that, you know, our generation very rarely got to move straight out into their own apartment. Almost everyone did some kind of a roommate situation. And I really think that that is one of the stepping stones that a lot of people need to consider. You know, people don't need $2,000 or $3,000 a month to live. They, you know, even though it might be moving back down the social ladder just a little bit, this demographic, and especially the younger group, they're still in a very malleable circumstance, and again, there's life skills that are learned when you have to share space with roommates, just as there are when you have to share space with parents. And I think, you know, as soon as there is at least some, you know, minimal level of compensation that they can rely on, they should be looking to head out.
Okay, I guess the question is, at least from a lot of parents' point of view, is this going to happen to me, or is this going in a better direction? From your perspective, do you see this trend increasing or what's going to happen here?
Well, I actually think it's part of a much larger trend. I mean, certainly the recession accelerated it for a lot of people, and a lot of people that would not have necessarily been planning to do that found themselves in the economic circumstances. But this has actually been something that's been brewing out there for, I'm going to say, the better part of 10 years. And I think there's broad implications here, but the helicopter parents that we all were, very involved in our children's lives, that didn't stop when they hit 20. Mm-hmm. We continued to be very involved in their lives, and so to have them in the house is not a strange set of circumstances, and for either for us or our kids. And I think that that has had a primary driver of having kids move back in, because it's great to be at mom and dad's. I can sit on the old sofa that I used to sit on and watch the big screen TV, and mom makes me dinner and does my laundry, and this is great. I mean, who wouldn't want to have that kind of support?
Sure, sure.
In any level of household. And the parents enjoy having the kids back in the house because they had a very good relationship before they left. And if there's some money that comes along with it, I think that's great. It can help older Americans, you know, as they merge into retirement years. So I believe that this is here to stay.
And I suppose that if, in fact, that your child has been trained in a particular profession, whatever, in school, and they come back and you can put them to work for you, it's not a bad thing, but you have to, I think you'd have to have some pretty formal rules in place so that it stayed in a very positive vein. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And this, the conversations that need to happen, and obviously the sooner they happen, the better, to lay out those expectations, much mm-hmm. like when you sign a lease with a landlord, you know, mm-hmm. outside of the house. There's a set of rules. There's a set of expectations. This is what you do, and this is what you don't do. I think that same conversation needs to be had when kids move back in to their parents' homes, so that everybody understands sort of, you know, if you're going to stay out late, you send me a text. If you're not going to come home, you let me know. You know, there either are or aren't house guests allowed, that sort of thing, because you know, the surprises are the things that cause the rifts.
Absolutely. And by the way, folks, when they say, yeah, but I'm now 28 years old, you say, well, if that's great, you are, then act like you're 28. But if you're living at home like you were when you were 21, as far as I'm concerned, you have to apply by some of our rules. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And keep in mind, it's your house. You're the one that's accepting them back in. So you need to lay the ground rules, and they need to agree to them. Otherwise, the door is not open.
You know, what a pleasure, Janet. Just plain old clear speak. Let's talk to folks, make them understand, and save them the headaches later. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's early out there in California. I appreciate it being here with us, okay?
Thanks so much, Paul. I really enjoyed it.
All right. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon. And folks, if you'd like to hear more about what we do here, or you have a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here, Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. Or contact me on my website, www.paulberry.com. Al Peterson, my engineer, thank you, Al, for the service today. Thanks to all of my guests. We'll be back here next week. We'll be looking for you. Please come looking for us. Have a good day.